Raising women's voices, one story at a time. Welcome to the She Said Project Podcast. Are we rolling?
We're rolling.
All right. We are rolling on another episode of the She Said Project Podcast. This is Jeanette Jerzyk. I'm in the Illinois Public Media Studios with my dear friend, Carrie Rosso, yucking it up on the Project Podcast.
Carrie Rosso here. And Jeanette often says yakking it up instead of yucking it up, which goes from laughing to vomiting. So look at you.
But we've defined it now. So yeah. I'm trying to.
We have boundaries.
Stay consistent. I learn from you every day.
You're welcome.
I don't know that's a good thing, but we're trying.
We're always moving forward.
We're a work in progress. The women we get to meet with, you know, they're in it. They're in the middle of stuff. Everyone's in something. Everyone's dealing with something.
I'm telling you, our guest today, I think that she is always evolving. We were talking about her building her brand, and I'm pretty sure she never says stuff like yakking it up or talk about vomit versus laugh, but I am like, so blown away by her.
She's one of the classiest ladies I know. This is for real. I've known Jacqueline for a number of years. When we were in the middle of that thing, remember that thing a couple years ago where we couldn't be in the same room as other people. You know, the She Said Project was still a thing, and when we couldn't do a live, that's what she said, show, we had to make a decision. And we decided to go virtual, which a lot of people were doing at the time, and took our show on Zoom and did this series of storytelling showcases, which I loved because we were no longer constricted by geography. We didn't have to just have women in one community. We got to try out what we do in a virtual format and bring women from across the country together and have these kind of mixed casts, which was really fun.
It was really great because my job is always to be the naysayer and say, can't work, don't.
You're very good at this job. Yes.
But I thought it's going to lose its magic. We need to be together. We need to be with other women. And what I quickly realized was, all of that's true, but there were so many women out there who were feeling isolated and lonely, and they didn't have their gal pals to yuck it up with in the time. And so I felt like we added a little bit in the corner of that void of connection and shouting into the void to all of us who were stuck at home, like, hey, we still have a way to connect.
I love that. I remember vividly picking up the phone, calling Jacqueline, and say, hey, Jacqueline, what are you doing for the next 2 weeks? Like, do you want to spend some time, you know, telling a story about your life experience? And I'm so grateful she said yes. And I'm even more grateful she's sitting right here.
In person
in the podcast studio. We didn't get to be in person for your performance. Now we get to be in person in the podcast studio. So welcome.
Thank you for
showing up and being here. How are you? How have you been?
I'm doing well.
Okay, so wait, I want to back up. I want to start from the beginning. Yeah. She's perfect. She's like doing great. Take notes, like, ladies. So I want to hear the whole thing, like how this whole, I wasn't kidding, like this brand, like you're a beautiful, motivated, doing all the things person. Have you always been that person? Have you always been a go-getter? How did you land here?
No, I don't think that I've always been a go-getter. I think that kind of evolved over time with just different experiences. Let me take it back to childhood, like just reflecting on me as a person, body image, body size, things like that is what I struggled greatly with. And then from there, just kind of self-training, going through different disorders mentally, externally, internally, kind of abusing myself. And then that just carrying over into adulthood. And then as I became a parent, then I had to shift and change my mindset some way, somehow. So I went back to school, got some more education, and continued to just grow in education and then grow within my family. I very quickly became a large family. When a large family, well, I think it's pretty large. I think three kids is pretty large.
You've got your handful.
Yeah. And so I went from one kid to three kids in 3.5 years. And so I had to actually care about myself. And through learning how to care about myself and learning how to care about my kids, because I was suffering from some conditions before getting pregnant, I had to fight through that. And through parenting and myself and my education, then that kind of evolved into what I am today. And things kind of just got thrown in my lap, and I just ran with it as like universal signs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you couldn't ignore it anymore.
Yes.
Your statement caught my attention when you said, I had to take care of myself, or I had to learn how to take care of myself. When you meet a first-time mom or a mom with several little kids, rarely is the discovery, if ever, oh, by becoming a mom, I learned how to take care of me. I mean, I don't remember thinking anything like that. You're so hyper-focused on these humans that you have to keep alive and fed, dressed, all that. That's a unique perspective for you to discover.
Oh, I had 4 and 5 years. I was in a lactating coma. I was like, I don't even know my name right now. I don't even know if you all are mine, but get in the van because we're rolling. But I look back and I remember like being very purposeful of, don't let this all slip by. Like, mm-hmm. you need to be purposeful about who you are because they're watching.
Yeah.
And pull yourself together, get out of your pajamas. And then like, what do I want to do? What do I want to show them? What do I want to be? And it was really important to me to show them I am. Being your mom is a huge part of who I am. But part of that for me was showing you I do things outside of these four walls and contribute to the world. And it's all connected back to you. But it was hard. You're tired.
Absolutely.
And your discovery ties perfectly into the story that you shared in the Story Sharing Showcase. Was a very distinct moment in time where you literally woke up and had to face what was coming.
Absolutely.
So let's take this opportunity to share the actual story so our listeners can join in and get to know Jacqueline a little better. Jacqueline appeared in our virtual Story Sharing Showcase back in 2020. And we're so grateful because that was a hard time, but we kept the mission moving forward. So please enjoy this performance. Jacqueline Monroe with her story, I Dreamed of Jacqueline.
I was driving down the street and received a call that my babysitter had not arrived to pick up my child. I panicked. As we all know, the late fee, which sometimes is as pricey as $1 per minute, is a bit steep on top of the childcare expense. At this time, I was living in Atlanta, Georgia. I parked my vehicle in the middle of rush hour traffic, got out, and started running down the freeway. Passing cars, I ran with all my might to get to my baby. As I ran, the scenery started to change. First, I felt like I was running through the woods, then the mountains appeared on either side of me. I ran down the beach, through rivers, sand, quicksand, and even on top of lava, rocks, and ice. It was the most epic run of my life. Even the seasons changed as I ran. I felt the cool breeze of fall, the snow hitting my face in the winter. I ran through spring rain and the heat of the summer. Once I arrived at the daycare, I scooped up my child, hugged him, and cried a million tears, rocking and holding him close. Then I woke up. This was the most vivid, nightmarish dream I've ever recalled. I woke up in panic. At the time of this dream, I was 5 months pregnant with my first son, and I had a lot of stuff to figure out. I called my mom the next morning and told her about this horrible dream. I said, if this is what parenting is like, the feeling of panic with time rushing by you, I didn't want to do this. It was as if my life was flashing in front of my eyes and it was scary. This was not the future I planned for myself. See, I never really wanted to be a parent. I never craved being a mother. I never worried about having someone care for me at an old age, bury me, and I never cared about leaving any sort of legacy on earth. However, that morning, I woke up to the start of my new world, my new space, and my new beginnings. It was time to wake up and literally and figuratively figure out who I was going to be. That dream was preparing me for the adult version of myself. Jacqueline Renee Monroe, mother to be. But why? During my adolescent life, I had a lot of issues with food and how I felt about my outer appearance. From being bullied about the complexion of my skin to idolizing Jane Fonda, I never felt beautiful. During my teens, it only got worse. I was so painfully careful to keep myself looking a certain way. At my homecoming in 1998, I received a formal photo from the event, and I didn't recognize the girl in the picture. I actually handed the envelope back because I thought they gave me the wrong person's picture. I had actually weighed more than I realized, and that girl looking back at me was everything I didn't want to be. When he handed it back to me and said, "No, that is you," I walked away embarrassed and ashamed. I went on a weight loss journey, the unhealthy way. I began to hate myself. Though I was never formally diagnosed, I believe I had body dysmorphic disorder, which led to me becoming an over-compulsive exerciser. I would run at midnight and even 1 a.m. in the morning. As I was running around the town, I started eating less food, which made me become physically weak. Mm. After healing from that failed attempt, I became a binge eater. Binge eating led to bulimia, and bulimia resulted in an even more severe condition called pica. I had a very unhealthy relationship with food and with my body. I even joined the military with these conditions because I hid it well. Well, I thought I did. I never admitted it, but my family started catching on. Fast forward to 2008, exactly 10 years of struggling with multiple eating disorders, I found out I was pregnant. Suddenly, I had no choice but to face my own illness or risk the life of my unborn son. By choosing him, I saved myself. When I said no to becoming a mom, God said yes times three. And today, I am a successful single mother of three. Thankfully, after all the physical damage I had done to my body, I had three easy and successful pregnancies. Through these pregnancies, I discovered myself and healed through my education. I studied my own struggles and earned a Master's of Science in Nutrition and Dietetics with specific focus on nutrition education and wellness. If I had not had that dream and realized that I had to face my new reality, I don't know where I would be right now. I maintain a healthy weight. I teach group fitness, consult personal train, and part-time faculty in the natural science department at Parkland College. My weaknesses and my deepest struggle has become my livelihood and the foundation for our household. I revel in teaching my sons about healthy living and positive choices. Now I know who I was really running to in that dream so many years ago. I was dreaming of Jacqueline Renee Monroe.
As a mom, can we all relate to that, the fear, yeah. the panic of who's got my kid? They didn't show up. Like the visual of you parking your car in the middle of traffic and running. It took me a while to remember that was a dream.
The late fee fear is real. I am at Montessori School of Champaign-Urbana, so now I'm on the other end of it. I have felt that fear where it feels like you're running through downtown Atlanta. And now I see it in other people, and I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. You're still going to get the late fee, but
but your child
but
is
it's
safe.
Okay. We all have grace for each other. Every time I hear that, even though I know, I'm like, yep, it's a dream. It's a dream. It's a dream. I'm still... Oh, that late fee business.
Yes.
The dream was your wake-up call, right? Like, haha, I did that on purpose, right? See what I did there. But you said it. You called it out. You said you woke up and had to decide who you wanted to be. Like, here comes motherhood. And what were these issues that you had dealt with?
Leading up to that moment, I had eating disorders and conditions to where I had suffered probably from about junior year in high school up to the age of 27, because that's when I had my first kid. So many, many, many years from about 17 to 27, I believe that's about 10 years of suffering from eating conditions like bulimia and anorexia and body dysmorphic disorder. I even experienced episodes with pica.
Which you shared in the story, and we didn't get into detail, but I remember talking through it with you, and you educated me. I'd love to share with listeners. It's such a unique condition. And a lot of people don't know what it is. So please share.
Yeah, it's when the body's so depleted in nutrients and so depleted in everything that it needs to survive and to thrive. You start to crave foods that are not foods. You start to be hungry, and I'm not sure if it's like a mental manipulation, but I believe that it is, that things that are non-food sources become appetizing to you. So in my condition, in my case, I would most crave toilet paper. Like fresh toilet paper, not used toilet paper.
Let's be clear.
Not used, but fresh toilet paper, because I've always had an eating issue. I've never liked flavor. I've never liked seasonings. I've never liked a blend of foods. I'm very plain and very bland. And that's what toilet paper did for me. It's plain and bland and dry, and just there was no consistency of it. It wasn't squishy.
So you would consume it. You
would
sit down and nibble on a square.
Yeah. And it would get me full, and I would be totally fine. And I was happy because I was no longer hungry, and I actually felt like I ate something, and I knew that I didn't have any calories because it couldn't be digested, right? So it was a scary moment, you know. It was scary, and I was fine for 10 years of not even thinking that it was a problem until I became pregnant with my first child.
Did not think it was a problem until now. There is someone else in the picture.
Absolutely.
Did friends know? Did your family know?
My family knew, but, you know, I think back then, like, we really didn't think about counseling and things like that. And when you're younger and you're supposed to eat a particular food. So, like, for instance, I talked to my parent about this today, you know, and I said, I've always had a food issue. They know it. They talk about it, too. We very freely, openly talk about my food issues as a child, and we laugh about it. But they didn't really understand because, you know, we just eat the food that's served on a plate. But I remember being a really young girl and, you know, gagging at the table or gagging at the plate or having this reflex at the plate. And my dad would be like, you know, when she was younger, Jacqueline would be at the table just like, yep. You know, just making these regurgitated
you
voices.
You would make yourself so sick that you couldn't.
When we talk about it now, we talk about the fact that it was an issue long time ago. We don't talk about the issue that I faced between that 10-year bracket. I think it's a really touchy subject for everyone. My older sister used to get super mad about it, but everybody else was kind of blindsided and kind of like out of sight, out of mind, until something was like found in the restroom or found in my room. And then I had to figure out some way to cover up what that is. And it is what it is. And it isn't what it isn't, one of those type of things. But I think that everyone basically kind of knew about it. There were other things that I craved too besides toilet paper, but toilet paper was the main thing that I craved. But there were other different types of things like that were very dry. I'll give you an example, like chalk. Dust. Like if you know how you don't dust for a while, you'll see like a little bit of dust on the television or something. I would pick it up and just let it roll on my tongue. And it wasn't like I was just like a little mouse eating toilet paper. It was like just a little roll. And then it had to be like a thin sheet. Everything had to be thin, and it had to be flat, and it had to just be able to roll on my tongue. So it was a really different experience. And then toilet paper is expensive, like it was back then. So just imagine, like, where's all the toilet paper going? You know, I'm like, I don't know.
But the way you're describing it, I know in the clinical world, people with severe eating disorders, there's a very ritualistic, very routine, very specific habit that they have to do to satisfy. And you're right. It's absolutely mental. It's not just hunger and this view of who you are and what you look like. I'm sitting here in awe, listening to you talk so comfortably and casually about something very, very severe. And what that says to me is you're in a different place now.
Yes.
In your story, you talked about going back to school and finding a professional career that is now based in what you called your weakness.
Yes.
So tell us where you are today in your career.
You know, I'm open about it now because of your show, because of the She Said show. That's why I'm so open and I'm so free and so expressive. During my undergrad, I was the social marketing chair in the Student Dietetic Association because that's what I studied, nutrition and dietetics, for both my bachelor's and my master's degree. So I used to be the person that filtered our social media pages, submitted articles for our newsletters and things like that. I submitted a fairly brief synopsis during that time. One of my professors was in awe. She loved it, absolutely. But it was this show. It was this show that was like, okay, take this deep dive. Take this big breath. You're going to ready to tell the world everything. So thank you for breaking those barriers and those doors for me. And then with me having this experience with fitness, because I've always been in personal training. Now I'm currently doing group fitness and doing small group trainings and things like that and building this brand. But it allows for me to connect with multiple audiences, not just people that are facing food conditions because they are underweight, but also because they're overweight, or also because they're just maintaining their weight and they don't want to maintain it, because some people do want to gain, some people want to lose. So it definitely allows me to, for me to say, I've been there. I've know what it feels like to have some type of disconnect with what you see in the mirror or what you feel in your heart or what you think in your mind. And so that's what allows for me to be able to who I am today and to be able to build this brand throughout the world.
And I think it's especially important because we have all these stereotypes of, you know, comparing our insides to other people's outsides. And like I said at the top of the show, on the outside, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, this person is perfect. She can't possibly struggle with anything. You know, everything is rolling for her. It's really important to remember that everybody is struggling, and not to be down on yourself because somebody else seems so fabulous and perfect, and not to be afraid. And I think when you appear outwardly to be so amazing, saying it's both, I am all these amazing things and I struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a huge thing for people, especially women, to not feel like I'm one or the other. I'm either a complete shit show or I'm awesome and have no problems. Like, that's not the reality that we want to portray to girls or anyone.
Absolutely.
So I think we need to say thank you to you. I think that was so huge.
We need to step it up.
Yeah.
But that's what the She Said Project is meant to be. It's to open doors for conversations. It's to learn from each other's experiences. And Carrie, you said we're not alone. We're not in it alone. Other people have been through this. They're still going through this. You don't have to have it all together. It's not before or after. It's during.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to use that. We're in it. We're always in it.
Always.
Right? We're always evolving and growing. But thank you for what you said about this experience. I don't think I realized how significant it was. I knew that you hadn't spoken a ton openly. I knew we weren't going super deep into the health issues, but I've just been such an admirer of yours in who you are today that there is power in that reflection of where it came from. And you've got three healthy boys. How old are they now?
They are 11, will be 12 in December, and 13 and 14, turning 14 and 15 on August 4th.
Their birthdays are the same day.
Same day. Yes.
How does that happen? That's amazing. I mean, you've got your hands full.
Yes.
And they live a healthy lifestyle. I know you bring your nutrition and fitness into the home. Like, that's part of your everyday now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I had to sneak things in my kids' food. So I would put the chia seeds in first, and then I would put the cereal on top, and then I would pour milk in. And all they would do was see like cereal and milk. And really they're eating like chia seeds and sesame seeds and things like that. Not that I was always trying to control their weight, but I definitely wanted to teach my children about food and nutrition and dietetics. I used to also pour our cereal in containers and have the measuring cup. So if it said 3/4 cup, I got a 3/4 cup measuring cup to be able to teach them at a very early age of serving sizes on top of sneaking things into their food.
Okay, how smart is that?
Mm-hmm.
When is the cookbook coming out? The Jacqueline Hides the Chia Seeds and the Broccoli in Your Brownies cookbook, right?
Yeah.
So this morning, my husband and my daughter made pancakes, and I was coming down the stairs, and I started making scrambled eggs, and my daughter got mad at me. She said, Mommy, I made you breakfast. I said, Sweetie, that's wonderful. They look delicious. Mommy wants some protein. And she went and pulled the protein powder container and walked it over to me and said, Mommy, we used one scoop of this.
Oh my goodness.
And I mean, we do. We have chocolate and strawberry and vanilla. And so she made chocolate pancakes, cocoa pancakes, and she pulled the bottle over and we were reading the label, and I had her calculate how much protein was in a serving. How coincidental this conversation is. I mean, we do try to sneak some good things into our kids' food, sure. But I loved that she knew. You know, when I said I wanted some protein in my breakfast, she was ready to defend her pancakes.
Yes.
And so I was really, really proud of her.
Yeah. That's excellent.
Well, I love it. We had a pediatrician one time, and I said, you know, I just want to be really chill about it. I don't want my talk about all this stuff to be like, hey, how to give your kid an eating disorder. I didn't want to be that person, but I also wanted to be really aware of what they're having. And she said, well, anybody who thinks what you consume doesn't really impact you, throw back a couple of shots of tequila and see how that works. Mm. It's the same with food. You put it in your body and it impacts you, your behavior, how you feel, how you look, like all of those things. And so I always think about tequila, but but it's true. Oh, you know, like whenever definitely. You're like, oh, this is no big deal. It might not be a big deal, but it does have an impact.
Yes, absolutely.
That's an excellent way to think about it. Right.
Tequila.
That's it. We're going to think about tequila every day. But you're right. Put something like that in your mouth. It doesn't take much. You feel it. But do you ever equate the same response to, you know, whatever cheeseburger you're eating?
Mm-hmm. Probably
Why'd you look
not.
At me when
Probably
you said
not.
That?
What?
Why'd you look at me when you said that, Jeanette? Know. It does have an impact, not just on how we feel, but our long-term health. Like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to have just this one now. But like, after having, ooh, just this one now, it's just like the tequila thing. You might be like, oh, I'm just going to have one tequila and then like two tequila, three tequila floor, you know? And then you're like, it does impact. You have to be purposeful about everything that you put in your body.
And one thing for sure about nutrition and how it impacts your life is that things happen to us later in life, you know, like adult onset medical conditions, things that we've done to our bodies 10, 15, 20 years prior. We don't remember that time, or we don't even think to put those two together. We think about it in that moment and think that it gets happened to us yesterday. But really, it's not then. It's, you know, 7 years ago, 14 years ago, that you have to think about what you're doing today for a better tomorrow.
Or the intake every single day of just a little, just a little, just a little.
Yeah.
What kind of damage is that doing over 20 years?
Yeah.
And why do we have to wait till we're this glorious age to figure it all out?
This is just my own opinion, but I think because when I'm 25, I look good. So I'm like, that burger, like I ate it, but I didn't see an immediate, oh no, I had that burger and my ass grew by 10 sizes. No, but now after like
I
years,
need to look good. I need to
yes,
look good.
And
where did it
like,
go?
We don't see the immediate gratification often. That's just our human brains justifying and helping us along. But you know better, you do better.
Yeah.
You know? I'm 51 and I probably eat healthier now and weigh probably 30 pounds more than I did when I was eating burgers and all the things. But I'm like, well, I feel good.
No, you have to take care of yourself and eat to feel good. Eat to live, right?
Yes.
Not
and anything can
eat.
Be consumed just in moderation, you know?
Especially toilet paper. In moderation.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. So, Jacqueline, where can people find you today? What is the work you're doing right now?
I work as a part-time faculty at Parkland College. I teach biology on the fundamentals of nutrition. I spend a lot of my time there. Being able to speak with the up-and-coming professionals is a really big deal to me to be able to educate them and to be able to speak to that audience. Because in general, when you think about fitness or personal training, those aren't things that audience can even afford or even entertain. So I get that avenue there. I also do some work through Dream, the non-for-profit. And then I am currently branding myself called Jacqueline Speaks. And Speaks is the actual brand that I use to showcase wellness, nutrition, personal training, group fitness.
All of that in 60 minutes.
All of that in 60 minutes. And everyone's prescription is different.
And that's your formula and that's your brand and that's what you bring to the people.
Yes.
And I mean, just looking at you, you just glow. You glow. So obviously you practice what you preach and you are the model of health and wellness and fitness and motherhood.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you all of that credit. And Carrie, you may or may not know this, but we've had Jacqueline come and meet with our teen participants, and that's what teens say, and teach some physical fitness and nutrition. And it was awesome.
It just makes me so happy to know like you're out there doing these things.
Thank you.
She should come to the Montessori.
Do a little
workshop.
Yes.
You bring in guest speakers. Right?
Yes, we do. But I was also thinking about my girls. All my kids are athletes, but it's a great thing for all girls to build something that is going to last your lifetime. I think that that would be amazing.
Jacqueline Renee Monroe, fitness for a lifetime. I love it. Well,
nobody has ever said that about me. I don't.
Carrie Rosso, four Wild shots mouth. Of tequila.
That's going to be my takeaway. I've never had four shots of tequila, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just a big talker.
You are, and that's why we love you. Well, Jacqueline, thank you so much for coming to play with us on the podcast today. It is so lovely to see you in person and catch up. You know, the stories that we share in the show, they live on because we have technology, but we have the podcast and we have our awesome partner in Illinois Public Media, and we have awesome sponsors who make this possible, Sterling Wealth Management, Carl Health and Health Alliance. But we can't do what we do without women like you who say yes. So thank you for showing up and for speaking out.
Ha, ha, ha. Oh my goodness. I see what you did there.
You're very welcome.
It speaks
thank you
to
guys.
Me.
It speaks to you. Thanks, Carasso.
Somebody's got to cut us off. This is just going to...
See you next time.
Yeah, over and out.
Thank you for listening to the She Said Project podcast in partnership with Illinois Public Media. All materials contained in the podcast are the exclusive property of The She Said Project and That's What She Said LLC. For more information on our live shows, go to shesaidproject.com. This podcast was made possible with support from Carl and Health Alliance and presented by Sterling Wealth Management, empowering women to live their best lives.